his office, became Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. Governor, thanks so much for calling in. How are you, sir? How's your family?
I am fine, Steve, and my family's fine. And thank you for asking. And how is your family? We always do these pleasantries when we start an interview. So how's your family, my friend?
Very well. We both have 9 grandchildren, and we're out trying to keep all of our families well. Governor, during your tenure as Health and Human Services Secretary, 9/11 and the SARS and H5N1 and then monkeypox. I'm really interested in your perspective. The COVID-19, how does that compare? Much graver threat to our national security and public health, sir?
Nothing would equal what took place on 9/11. That was the top disaster emergency facing the United States. The difference is between the COVID-19 which is a coronavirus, but is also SARS was a coronavirus, determined by CDC, is that the COVID has been declared a pandemic right now because it is spreading from continent to continent with no end in sight. And so it right now is more serious because it is afflicting more people than SARS or monkeypox did when I was secretary. The big difference, Steve, is that after 9/11, the administration and Congress, on a bipartisan basis, and I was placed in charge of that, was to rebuild our public health system, because at that time we determined that we were unable to really fend off. We didn't have the surge capacities, and we didn't have the kind of equipment necessary. So what we did is we rebuilt the public health system, Steve. We expanded the depots, which are a top secret, the medical supply chain, and we were able to actually rebuild surge capacities in our hospitals and so on across the states. We had plans put in place that people knew what to do. We had exercises in which we had people that were schooled in emergencies, how we would deal with emergencies, what would we do if we had a catastrophe, how would we take care of the people that needed the treatment. And we set that up. But after I left, and after a couple of years, as it always is the case, America looks to other problems, and nobody was really doing what was necessary to maintain the public health emergency system that I was able to successfully build with the help of a lot of people on a bipartisan basis when I was secretary. And so now we're placed with a situation in America and worldwide where our supply chain is in very poor position, because the ingredients necessary for a good share of 50 of our major medicines are in other countries, and we don't have the necessary supplies to take care of them. Secondly, we haven't done enough to rebuild our testing system. And the third thing, which is going to come, and I'm telling people this, is surge capacity. If this thing continues to take off, we don't have the surge capacity. We let all of those plans that I had placed in order to fall in disuse and have been completely ignored. So people don't know where they're going to place the individual people that have come down with this disease in hospitals, and we haven't got enough masks, we haven't got enough ventilators, we don't have enough medicines to treat them. So, this is because we didn't maintain our public health system, which was in great shape after after the Bush administration because caused by 9/11. And so that is our huge problem right now. And finally, something that I've been telling people that they have to look out for is they need our doctors, Dr. Fauci, which is the best, and the doctor at CDC, and Annabelle Birx, to get out and tell doctors and tell patients, you know, how to treat this disease. Nobody's put out a lesson plan on how to treat COVID-19. And that's got a lot of people worried. And so they need to find out how they can maximize the use of the test. Secondly, they have to figure out what they're going to do with surge capacity. Third, they have to figure out how they're going to get the medicines necessary to treat people. And fourth, they need to tell people in no certain way how, what kind of medicines you need to treat this insidious disease.
What about
they haven't done that.
What about the term that you and I have heard, Governor, that the next 2 or 3 weeks is a tipping point? Number one, do you agree with that in terms of a national contagion? Number one, do you agree with that? And number two, what are you going to be looking for in terms of, is if it is a tipping point, what are going to be the benchmarks, sir?
Well, it's truly based upon numbers. And we have, I don't know what the final count is, but this morning was 4,700 in America. Now, if that doubles in the next 3 to 5 days, then we've got a huge problem. And if it triples, we got a more serious problem. And where is it located? And how are we treating them? And do we have the surge capacity? Those are all the questions that I've been asking people, and nobody seems to have the answers. But finally, it's the medicine, how to treat these individuals that come down with the disease.
Are you hopeful that the first person yesterday was injected in the Seattle area with a preventive vaccine? Or are we really, I don't want to say shooting blind, but do you have much hope for that, sir?
I have a lot of hope for it, but not for another year.
Why?
Just because it takes too long and the FDA is not going to give permission to inoculate that many people. They got to first test it, and that testing takes a long time.
Was the Trump administration too late to recognize this as a national emergency, Governor?
No, I don't think so. I think they acted very quickly. I think the problem has been is that it's not the Trump administration. It's the fact that previous administrations and in Congress has let the public health system fall in disrepair.
But it was the Trump administration. It was the Trump administration that reorganized out of existence the pandemic team, which you made. No, it was created in 2016, and it was done away with in 2018.
Well, there's a fault in that that should not have been done away with. But there also was a lot of things that the Obama administration didn't do to rebuild the state in the public health system and the surge capacity for our hospitals.
As
we have that all in place under the Bush administration, and it just fell apart in subsequent years.
As we see the number of confirmed cases spike in our largest states, California, New York, Florida, Washington, here's my question. As healthcare resources flow to the left and right coast, is there a problem that the situation in Wisconsin, that Wisconsin would be shortchanged, Governor?
I think that there's a problem. I don't think it's a coastal versus a intercoastal problem. I think the states that are going to get hit hardest first are going to be using the available resources. The states that come behind, like the possibility of Wisconsin, are going to be left with what's left. and hopefully they're able to replenish it. I don't think there's any, you know, direct rationale for doing it. People are going to be treating the people that need it at the beginning, and those are areas that are striking first, and so they have to be treated. And the question is, is our supply line effective enough to give the medicines, and what is the treatment? And I'm not sure that surge capacity, the supply lines for getting the necessary ingredients in from other countries, or the treatment protocol is available to enough people at the present time to make me satisfied. I'm not.
In yesterday's call with the governors, President Trump said, governors, you're free to, on your own, try to make arrangements to add more ventilators and respirators and gloves and masks in your state. Is that something governors can do?
Well, they can try. And I mean, they can. There are a lot of manufacturers that are manufacturing masks, Steve, that they can order and get masks done. Ventilators are in short supply, and that it goes back to what I said at my beginning. That was that the disaster plans for ventilators and masks and putting them in the stockpile were not followed through with, and we don't have enough in the stockpile to take care of all the needs. And we don't have in that surge capacity, which was set up in the Bush administration for hospitals to expand services, was never followed through on in subsequent years.
I've covered you for a few decades. You don't sound pretty optimistic, sir, about the immediate future, the nation dealing with COVID-19. Is that an unfair summary?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that is completely accurate. I know the people that are working on this. Admiral Burks and Robert Redfield and Tony Fauci, they're the best in the world. And so I have a great deal of confidence in the doctors that are leading this effort. I'm just concerned, Steve, about the necessary supplies to do what is necessary to keep us healthy. I'm worried about the doctors and the healthcare workers of getting enough ventilators and masks and gloves. I'm concerned about this thing widening and we don't have the medicines or the supply line set up. And three, I'm worried about the treatment protocol that is necessary that's really not out there yet. And so there's just a lot of unanswered questions. And what I said, and I said this to the people at the Department of Health and Human Services, what you need to do is you need to have Robert Redfield and Tony Fauci and Admiral Burks out every morning, noon, and night with new information. How do you treat it? This is the supplies we have. We're taking care of this and getting people better educated. And they're doing a good job, but not, they have to ramp it up even more and get more information out.
Since I asked you, sir, what most concerned you, let me ask you, what are you most hopeful about with this COVID-19?
I'm hopeful that it is a spring disease like other viruses, and it's going to fade away, so that we can get our act together if it comes back in the fall.
Are you a former governor? Any reason why we should cancel our April 7 elections and their presidential primaries?
Well, that depends on how hard we're hit. I don't think it's fair to have an election in which some communities are not going to be able to participate. And so I think that I don't see anything wrong right now with postponing the election. But the paucity of information we have, we know it's going to get worse in the next 2 weeks. how much worse, we don't know. We don't know if that's going to extend into the third or fourth week and possibly months. And we don't know how bad it's going to be. Therefore, I think prudence and individuals that want fair and equitable elections, which I do, should take a strong view of possibly postponing it. Louisiana did, and
Georgia?
Ohio did.
Ohio?
What's wrong with that?
Right. Yeah. But Governor Evers just said 500,000 voters have sought absentee ballots. So there's a real movement to use absentee ballots and not stand in line using poll workers, most of whom are over 60. So Governor Evers says he's leery now of disrupting what he calls our Wisconsin democracy. Any short response? I've only got a couple more questions for you, sir.
Well, I think, common sense would be is that it's not going to disrupt Wisconsin's democracy. What would be more of a disruption is if more people are sick and cannot participate.
Understand.
You're still going to have a lot of people that are going to be going to the polls on April 7th, which is still going to cause the problems. Therefore, I think it would be smart at the present time to postpone the election.
Just two more questions, Governor. I want to respect your time. This debate over whether we should not meet in groups bigger than 10, 25, one governor suggested 25 today, or 50. Where do you come down on that, sir?
Well, I think containment is the name of the game. So I think you've got to try and do whatever is necessary. I don't know what the magic number is, Steve. Nobody does.
Okay.
So you can make an argument for any one of them, but I think containment and keeping people away from it so it's not communally spread is the best way. And I think good sanitary habits of washing and using hand sanitizers are good, except you can't buy hand sanitizers. They're all out. And so people need to manufacture them as well. But I don't, there's not a magic number. 10, you can make the argument it's too many. And you can make an argument the same way on 25 and 50. So I'm not going to pick a number because I don't know.
Okay, final question. Scott Walker is on voluntary quarantine. Congressman Gwen Moore is on voluntary quarantine. Have you adjusted your lifestyle? You're in your 70s.
Yeah, I'm washing my hands and using the hand sanitizers that I have, and not going out very much.
You spend an awful lot of time on planes. Are you spending fewer times on planes? Are you going to get on a plane after this conversation?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Are you going to eat at a restaurant tonight?
No, even though I would like to. It's St. Patrick's Day.
Holiday. Understand. Okay. Governor, thank you. Last question, really. Advice for the citizens of Wisconsin listening to this interview.
Well, the advice is very simple. You've got to be careful. No shaking of hands. Wash after wash frequently with soap and water. If you got hand sanitizers, use them. But I would not hoard. I would strongly urge people don't hoard things because I don't think it's necessary. Grocery stores are going to remain open. And I don't think you should make a run on the supplies that you feel that are necessary. Use what you feel necessary for a week or 2 weeks, but that's it.
Well, thank you, sir. Given your experience in the public health arena, I really want to thank you for taking the time to talk to Wisconsin Eye. And be safe, Governor, you and your family.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.